Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Oh, good. All right. Here we go. Ready to rock. My name is Nick, and I'm the teaching pastor here. Really glad that you came. If it's your first time or second time, or you've just been lazy and not filled out the Connect card, I'd love for you to fill that out. You can take it back and get to hang out with the Shocks, which is amazing. And they will greet you warmly and give you a free coffee mug. So please fill out the Connect card. Go see them. See what community group listing is and all that. I wanted to throw out a few things before we get started. I really want to push you to the conference in a couple weeks with Paul Tripp. He has just been a great resource for us as a church on parenting. So if you're a bad parent, which all of you are, then you'll want to hear it. If you have a bad marriage, which I know a lot of you have, you want to go to this because he's going to talk about marriage. If you're just a bad person, you want to go because he will help set us in the right ways. Paul Tripp is really just been an extreme help, and the mustache has helped us a lot of just really feeling better about ourselves as well. But Paul Tripp is coming in a couple weeks, and a bunch of churches in the Columbus area have put our resources together to bring him. And so New Life Gahanna is one of our partner churches, and they're going to be hosting the event. Brittany and I are going, and I really want to encourage you all to come with us because it's going to be really good. Good marriage training, good parent training, good everything. It's about the gospel, so it's good. Also, I wanted to remind you to text in questions if you have questions. I'm going to try to answer these every Monday morning. Text this number. I will answer them via video on the Vox Veritas or Vox Columbus or wait the VoxVeritas.com, and I would love for you guys to check that out. I hope to answer questions as best I can. So we are in a series called Blueprints, as you can see on your bulletin, where we're unpacking the DNA of Veritas, who we are. What we do, who we are, what we do. And this isn't only about Veritas, the church. This is a sermon series really about what Christianity is, who Christians are, what they believe, and how they live that out, how they live that out. And today we're talking about community, or as we sometimes describe it here, as family. Now, I'm going to be really upfront with you. Sermon's going to be, it's going to sting. It's just going to sting. There's no way around it. I'm going to be very bold and direct and upfront with this sermon. Some of you are going to feel like I'm preaching straight at you, because I am. A lot of you have asked questions. A lot of you have struggled with some of the things that I'm going to talk about, and you've talked to me about them, and so I'm going to preach at you about them, and I'm preaching to everybody about them. So it's going to sting. Just think of the sermon like a Band-Aid. I'm just going to rip it off fast and hard, and it's going to sting, but then I'll put a new one on it, and I'll kiss it. Send you on your way, you'll feel all better. So maybe turn to your neighbor and just say, hey, it's going to be all right. Grab their hand if they need it. All right? All right, so we're in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. If you guys would please stand out of reverence for God's word. We're going to read from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. This is written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And here's the verses we're going to focus on, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you knowing that you have made a way for us, that you have torn the curtain in two, that we may enter boldly with full assurance, that you have drawn us into the Holy of Holies, that you've given us full access to you, our Father, through Jesus. And so we come before you as a community, as a people, and ask, Lord, that you would convict our hearts. God, I pray that you would send your Spirit to turn and change the hearts of many who are here, who are believing so many lies and have bought into the garbage that surrounds our culture when it comes to community. And so, Father, would you make us one with your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can have a seat. Most of you, let me just be right up front. Most of you have been deceived by Satan with some huge lies about community, about what community is, about mostly your involvement in community, your involvement in relationship with other people. Most of you have taken what the culture has told you or just what you hear in your head and you believed that. And so what I want to do, what I really want to do is spend some time and just call against those things. Just really remind you that these lies are not just things that we want you to know just to be a better person, but these lies, and I'm going to spend some time unpacking, ripping off the bandage, these lies are things that are destructive. They're lies that are destructive to this church, to the gospel, to the gospel. Most of you are being deceived by Satan regarding your relationships with others. You spent time listening to the lies like, I don't fit in, or I don't have time for friendship. I don't have time for friends. I don't have time for community. Or real community is organic. And other lies like that. You've listened to these lies instead of listening to the heart and commands of our God who created us for community. He designed us that we may have relationships with each other. He has died for a church, a bride, a body of people, not just one person, but all of us together. So what I'm going to do is address some of these lies head on. I want to just speak through these lies before we get into our text heavily, although the text has a lot to say about these things. I want to walk through them practically and then remind you from Hebrews 10 that Jesus opened up a new way for us to know him. He opened up a new way. Therefore, we can have access. We can have community like him. We can come to him together like no other. Like no other. So, I'm grabbing the Band-Aid and about to rip it off. First lie. The first lie that you believe. I don't fit in, or I don't have anything in common. I don't fit in, or I don't have anything in common. And a lot of this is going to be geared towards Veritas from your experiences that I've had talking with you. Some of you have this idea that Veritas is something. We got a call from the Columbus Dispatch years ago. Hey, I heard you guys are starting a church for artists. Where'd you hear that? Well, don't you guys have an art gallery? I'm like, we hang art on our walls. But we're not in her church for artists. Some of you thought that. Maybe you think that. Some of you think this is just a bunch of hipsters that go here, or just a bunch of college students that go here, or everyone is 20, et cetera, et cetera. And there are many things that you're going to put out there to believe about who Veritas is, and you're going to use that. You're going to use that to say, I don't have anything in common with those people. I don't have anything in common. I love Excel sheets, and all of them paint. But there are more Excel sheet loving people here. Let's be honest. There are more of you. You're nerdy. You're not artsy and cool like that. You're just like mostly nerds. But there are more non-students. There's tons of families, and we do struggle, yes, with just a lack of a plethora of older folks above 50, but we have like 6, okay? All right, so don't stereotype Veritas. Don't stereotype this community and use that as a tool. Use that as a tool to say, I don't fit in with them, because it's not an excuse. We have over 450 people that come regularly during the week. It's at the point where you can't use that as an excuse anymore, where there was like 5 of us, and if you didn't relate to one of us in some way, then then whatever. But now there's so many different kinds of people here that we are not one thing, or we are not one way, or we do not do things the same way. There's a lot of different people here. So we cannot use that excuse anymore. Find something in common. Find something in common with people around you. Even if you're like, there's not much in common. All right, let me give you an example. I am like a wannabe rock star, former jock. That's kind of my background. Ross, he's our communications intern. He is a sarcastic, he's somewhat athletic, but he's not very competitive dude. So we don't have a lot of common things on the surface. But I love hanging out with Ross. I love spending time with Ross. And you know what we relate on? We relate on Boy Scouts. Boy Scouts, of all things. Both of us were in Boy Scouts. We were both Eagle Scouts. And so we sit around and we talk about the things that we've lit on fire in Boy Scouts and the various things that we tried smoking in Boy Scouts and all that kind of stuff. Nothing illegal. Nothing illegal. But Boy Scouts is what we talk about. And I know that sounds really lame, but that's something that we enjoy to spend time connecting on. And I like hanging out with Ross and talking about those things, even though like a lot of the majority of the things that we have are not in common. And if you are still saying, well, I just don't feel like I jive or I don't fit in or whatever, you know, I want to be understanding, because that is a real issue that some people have. They're just not feeling like they're connecting. But I'm gonna call you to push through that lie. Push through that lie that I don't fit in, and use that as a block, as a wall, before going to different people and trying to fit in, trying to connect, and trying to be in community with people. Not using that as excuse. And I know that that's an awful feeling, that some of you genuinely feel like, I just don't fit in. People are, I just don't fit into this community. I'm waiting, but I think a lot of times if you're really honest with yourself, when you're saying stuff like that, what you're saying is like, I don't really want those kinds of friends. I don't want those kinds of friends. I want to wait out to find friends that are a little bit more cool, a little bit more fun, maybe a little more status to help raise my status or something like that, some reason like that. I mean, that's a lot of times how a lot of you are, right? A party comes up, you get invited, and you're like, I'm going to hold off. Wait for the cool guy to invite me to his party. Hopefully there's something better. There's a better party, so I'm not going to commit to this. And then, you know, you're probably sitting by yourself. But at the end, we're called to just find that relationship and invest in people, even if they're not like us. And besides, I don't think we should care if we don't have anything in common, because we, as the church, have the most important thing in common, right? We have Jesus in common. Why is that not central to our relationships? Why are we not spending time saying, hey, you know, we don't both play soccer, but we both pray, right? So why don't we pray some? Well, we both have a Bible. We should read that together and talk about it. That's what it means to get over a lot of those hurdles and say, I don't fit in. You got Jesus in common. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough? So don't believe that lie, because it will destroy you and put you in lonely places. The second lie is that everyone else already has friends, and I'm left out. Everybody's got this community, this clique going on. I'm the one on the outside. I'm the one who's not invited. I'm the one just on the outside looking in. If everyone is believing this, then we've got a real dilemma, right? Because everybody's on the outside of nothing. There's no circle. Everybody's just like, I don't have friends, and this group of people have friends just because they went and got coffee once. You know, like there's that real catch-22 here, and I get more emails and hear more struggles with this than anything. So, okay, I'm going to say this as the leader of the church. I'm going to step back and say, all of you, get together. Just get together. Because everybody's sort of believing this lie. There's a lot of you that are believing this lie, that there's this clique. And I'm here to say, I'm the leader of the church, and I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, there is no inside circle. There is no inside clique. So get together. All of you, invite people. There's nothing going on behind a closed door or anything like that. There are a lot of new people here. This is a very new church, and so there's a lot of you who've just moved here, especially this season. You moved here for work or you just graduated from school or something, and you don't have to be friends with the pastor and their wife to really be connected here. It's not like that. You know, at one point, there was four of us, and the church revolved around a few of us. And we're at this point in the church where it's like, come on, guys, okay, it's not about the pastors anymore. It's not about Brittany and I anymore. We can't have every single one of you over every week, but we try, but we can't have everybody over all the time. We're at a point where it's just like, you guys have to be friends together, you know, because we can't do it all anymore. And not everyone has friends, and I think there's this mentality that, well, I have to be friends with the pastor or the pastor's wife or one of the leaders to really be connected in here, but that's not how it is here. And some of you may genuinely feel left out. You really may be hurting because you feel really left out, and that is a valid issue, but it's not because people have their clique and they're trying to keep you out of it. You may have set yourself up to feel left out because you believe that there is, you just believe that there's something that you are not invited to. But that's a lie that Satan wants to use in your life to put up a block for you not to pursue other people, for you not to get into relationship with other people. So the truth is that everyone doesn't have friends already. And that you are being called to initiate that. Third lie. I don't have time for community. I don't have time for community. So this is a lie first, because we are biblically required to make time for relationships, make time for community. That's why the writer of Hebrews here, Hebrews 10, says, do not neglect to get together. Do not neglect meeting together. Why would the writer say that? Because they were neglecting meeting together. They were neglecting it. They were pushing it out. Maybe they had so much going on. They got to raise their kids. They got to go to their job. They got to do whatever they do, watch their movies, you know, whatever it is. But it's a lie, because we're supposed to do this. This is something that's a priority that we're supposed to invest in with one another. The second thing is that community doesn't have to be putting together a giant party, some big event. It happens in the small spaces of life. It happens in the normal rhythms of life. Let me give you an example. Julie Workman, and I'm going to use the Workmans a lot as examples because they are just great. But Julie Workman and I chatted this week, and she was sharing about Amanda Moss's and her relationship. And she was just sharing, you know, Amanda she just comes and she comes over to the house, just randomly stops by sometimes. She'll come and do her laundry at times. She'll take the kids with her or take the kids to school for her. And their relationship intersects in sort of the normal rhythms of life. She kind of comes and helps Julie and the Workmans out at times. She has more time than they do because they've got four kids and are investing a ton in the church, and Joel's pastoring on top of working a full-time job, and all their family is so busy doing a lot of different things, and Amanda's come alongside in their normal rhythms and just has assimilated to that. And really, that's what it is for you guys. It's just jumping into those normal rhythms with people. Everybody's got to eat, right? Eat together. Everybody's, I don't know, watching TV. Watch TV together. Everyone needs work done on their house. Do it together. Everyone goes to the store together. Do it together. You just do those normal things together in community, where you can have normal conversations and get to know one another. Because it's time that we stop becoming Facebook friends with people and actually become real friends with people. Right? We need to invest in those relationships with people. And it kills me. I'm going to go off. It kills me to hear some of you say that you don't have time for community, because honestly, there's only a few of you here that I'd be like, yeah, that's true. I heard a college student say to me one time, hey, I mean, I'm in school and I work 30 hours a week. And I'm just like, dude, I hate to be a jerk, and sound like an old grumpy man, but I'm getting there. And I, not too long ago, I was working well over 50 hours a week with four jobs at one time, a full-time job and several part-time jobs. I was in school doing master's level work. I was raising a family. I was married. I was leading a community group. I was the coach of 10 community groups, and I was interning at a church all at one time and was faithful at all of those things. So when somebody comes and says to me, I don't have time because I work 30, 40 hours a week, and you're single, I have no sympathy. I have no sympathy at all. If you're single, spend time getting together with families that don't have a lot of time, that have a lot of kids, and they've got wild and crazy life all night. They've got soccer games. They've got ballet, all these different things going on. Go and join them. Be a part of that. Don't say, I have to work too much. Stop working so much if you work too much. Enjoy being around people, being around community. And I know that you all have different seasons. We all have different seasons, right? Where we have more community, less community. Some of you, if you just had a baby, it looks a little different than when you were single or when you were just married. If you're just married, it looks different than when you were in college. All of that looks very different, different seasons. But there is no excuse for going solo. Be creative. Be creative at making time. You are sinning if you don't. You are in sin. This passage has called us to, and we're going to dig in more, but this passage has says, do not neglect to meet together. This is very important for us to grasp. No time is a lie. Fourth, I need to be everybody's best friend. Everybody's best friend. Some of you feel the weight of being everyone's best friend. You feel like you need to be everybody's friend, therefore you have no friends. You have so many friends that you hide behind the crowd and you won't let anyone actually be your friend. Really invest in you. Some of you need to hear that it's okay to pick your friends. You don't have to be friends with everyone. You have to be friendly towards everyone, but you don't have to be friends with everyone. If you desire to be in government work, then maybe you'll find friendships with others in that same field. If you want to be a stay-at-home mom, pick some moms to hang out with and spend time with. Brittany and I have new people at our house all the time. All the time. My kids are used to hanging out with somebody new every week, somebody different every week, but it's not, but not everyone's gonna be our best friend. Sorry if that hurts your feelings. But not all of you are going to get to be best friends with my wife and I. But we desire to be friendly towards everyone. And for us, our temptation is this. This is the lie that my wife and I believe. Because what we say is, well, look, we've got friends with everybody. We're friends with everybody. We have new people in all the time. But we can use that to hide behind the fact that we're not going deep with anybody. Therefore, we're on the edge too. We're not in community. Even though we're surrounded by people. Some of you are in that boat as well. You just surround yourself with the right kind of people and say the right amount of things. You do the right amount. You're in a community group. You've taken all the right steps to be in those spaces, but you don't really go super deep about your life because you don't want to go too far with all that. The fifth lie, authentic community is organic. Authentic community is just organic. It just happens. Now, I hate the term organic. Nothing in life is truly organic. Nothing is truly organic. Pastor Brad said the only organic thing, he said this, he's a great theologian, scholar, renowned everywhere. He wrote this in his book that he's going to write one day. But he said the only organic thing that happens in relationships are sin and division. Isn't that true? The only really organic thing that just happens is sin and division. It's a pipe dream to think that relationships just happen. It takes intentionality, true intentionality, to have real community, to have real community. Someone has to initiate hanging out. Someone has to propose something to come around. Whether it's, let's get together and talk. Let's have coffee together. Let's pray together. Let's go to the store together. Let's do these kinds of things together. Somebody has to propose something, initiate something to come around. Real community doesn't come about with you just walking into a coffee shop and there's all your friends organically there, just so happens, and now you're all best buddies and you're sharing life together just like that. That does not happen in the real world. That's college. Some of you, like, that's what college life is. You just walk home, there's all your friends. They've got everything waiting for you, just excited. You know, that might be how it is in college, but that's not how it is in the real world. It takes a lot of initiating. It takes you initiating. You, not somebody else. It takes you initiating, not waiting for somebody else to do it for you. You know, we live in this generation where we think that everything, you should be handed everything. And the church suffers because of this. Because a lot of you are sitting back and you're saying, the church needs to give me community. The church has to give me community. If they don't do it my way, then I'm leaving. I'm going to another church. If they don't say the things that I want them to say, then I'm leaving. And this is kind of how community works within the church. But you've believed this lie that you should have everything handed to you and you don't actually have to work for it. You don't have to work for these relationships, but that's a lie. You do. You know, we have this mentality. I know this is on a different level, but we have this mentality. It's like a girl and a guy are at a bar and they just look at each other and they're like, I want to marry you. You're so awesome. And they're going to get married in the movies. They get married and life is so perfect. But that is not how it works. Organic stuff is false. Nothing is truly organic. It takes true initiation. It takes you initiating. And it takes time. It takes time. You have to work for good friendships. Sometimes you have to work really hard. I'm reminding you of this because Veritas is in its fourth year of existence. We've only been around for 4 years, and it takes more than just a few months of you showing up on Sunday to actually get to know people, to be in relationship with people. It takes more than just going to community group. It takes you investing in relationship. It takes you investing, because it isn't college. College relationships are the only thing that happens somewhat organically, because you live with each other. You share the same straw together. You share everything together. It's like college is just that kind of atmosphere. Some of you, when you graduate, when you have graduated, I know some of you that have graduated, you just fall flat on your back because you're like, where's all my friends? You're married now. You can't live and stay up late and party all the time and do whatever you want. Your life has changed. The real world is not a college dorm room. You have to work for relationships. As much as you might hate to hear that, it's true. One of my best friends, one of my dearest and closest friends, is based completely around intentionality. In fact, when I met him, we were put together. So I'm meeting with Steve Timmis, who's preached here before. He and I were talking, I was telling him, you know, our church really, we really want to invest in church planting in England. How can we do this? And he's like, here's Gary. Here's your new friend. Here's your new friend that you guys can talk and invest in as a church, and this is going to be great. So he put us together, and Gary has become one of my best friends that I have shared so much of my soul with, and we've bore so much of our burdens with one another. But he lives in England. We don't just get to go out and have coffee. We can't call him up and say, do you want to come over and have dinner with our family tonight? There is nothing organic about our relationship. I can't even just call him. I have to email him. Can we set up some Skype time? Here's five things I want to talk to you about so we can make the most of our time together and have a good conversation over Skype. We have to have this, but he's my closest friend. I would die to just have a cup of coffee with him, to have him over for dinner. My wife and I just crave that relationship with their family so much, but we can't. Does that mean he's less of a friend? No, not at all. Thinking authentic community happens organically is just the biggest lie. It's such a lie for you to keep you from actually initiating relationships. Just to let it happen does not happen. Authentic community happens when authentic people are intentional about living life together. Did you hear that? Authentic community happens when authentic people are intentional about being in community together, relating together. And the sixth and final lie is that I must be mentored by someone much older than me. This is something that I've heard so much as well, and even felt as much as well. We are generally a young church, and we kind of have this mentality that we all crave. I know a lot of you young folks crave older folks just investing in you, more mature folks to help mentor you, but we cannot let that be a hurdle for us to be mentored. Some of my closest mentors are actually younger than I am. People who have just been ahead of the game more and ahead of life more than me. So I can call them and ask them questions. I can have them invest in my soul and my spirit and encourage me. You don't need to have somebody 60 years plus on you to learn from. So don't sit on the sidelines. We're going to keep praying for that. We're going to keep praying that more older folks invest in this young community, but we can't sit on the sidelines and just wait for that to happen. We still need to invest in each other, and we need to be invested in. We need people to invest in us, and I don't care what age you are. Let me give you an example again from the Workmans, Joel and Julie. Julie told me that their community group Brittany and I were in their community group for a while. They have a majority of college students. Almost everybody in there is college students because it's on a Sunday night, and that's when college students only have free time. So they go to their community group, and all of the people in there are at completely different stages of life as they are. They all are single generally, in their early 20s, and Joel and Julie are not. They're older and more mature. And so Julie told me that she finds so much fulfillment and joy in them, people half her age investing in them. When Julie Workman says that, you should believe it, because she's got a lot more wisdom than most of you. And she brings this, when she's saying a 20-year-old can invest in her that way, give her joy and completion in that, some of you ought to think about that. And stop waiting for this 70-year-old sage to come along in your life and teach you all that you need to know about life. Because I'm not going to do that. Nobody's going to do that. All right. Band-Aids off. Let me step back and tell you that I think these lies can actually have some validity. They are things that really hurt you and can destroy you. But I want to point out that these are lies. These are lies. These are not things that hold you back from community. And I'm pointing them out because I'm calling you to hurdle over those lies. We just spend too much time as a new church hearing that you don't fit in or that you feel left out or whatever. But under all those feelings have come from the fact that most of you struggle just to dive in, just to dive in a relationship, to work through some of that awkward beginnings, you know, some of those awkward first few months that might come, or you're not fighting through just working your schedules out to have some time to hang out or time to invest. But some of you need to get over that. So what can we learn from this? What can we learn from all these lies? That was basically the introduction to the sermon. All right. We've ripped the bandage off, and before we bleed out too much, I want to call you to our text that gives us wisdom regarding community, that gives us so much wisdom and depth regarding community. We see two different ways the gospel plays out in community in verses 24 and 25. How do we form a true gospel community? How do we do this? It's a question that I have wrestled with since day one of this church, because my heart's desire, my plea for you, is that this would be the greatest community that you've ever been a part of. That you would have such deep relationships here that if you lose your job and you get offered a job somewhere else in the country, you wouldn't go. That if you graduate from school, you'll work at Starbucks until you can find something else here in Columbus, because you love this community so much. That's my prayer. So how do we do that? Verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What we see here is community happening side by side, shoulder to shoulder, working together with common tasks, love and good works being the objective. And then you have verse 25, community happening face to face, meeting together and encouraging one another. So I want to ask you, do you have side by side? Do you have face to face community? Are these part of your life? Now let's look at this. First, a side by side community, love and good works. Love. Now, the word here is meaning to be concerned with for how you love others. Being concerned with how you love others. This is plural. So you are to love others with others. Did you get that? Side by side, you're grabbing other people with you and you are loving other people. You are loving other people. You can't see this in the English, but let us consider that word, that phrase, let us consider, is weak. When you translate it from the Greek, I'm getting all scholarly and nerdy on you, it's actually a very intense emotion that's being conveyed. Very intense emotion that we live out this love. That we live out this love. And why don't we get passionate about loving others? I mean, we kind of do on some levels in certain ways, but we can't do it by just simple ways, by inviting people over for coffee, by getting lunch or dinner. You can do that on Sundays. You've got an afternoon, you've got in the morning. Do that on Sundays. Get the men or the women together in your community group for prayer, accountability, encouragement, Bible reading. Get together and do these things. If you know someone's struggling, grab a few people and take them a meal. Just show them love in some way. Some of you do this so well and have blessed so many others in this way. The other side-by-side ministry is that we are to have good works, serving the city, serving the church. Two huge ways that we serve, side-by-side, serving the city and serving the church. We must learn to serve side-by-side with each other. I get to know people so much when we have something in common. This is kind of a thing that guys get more than women, right? Because we love common projects. We love to work on stuff together, and we feel closer. We feel bonded more when we're working on something together. My wife and I's relationship to one another has grown immensely as we have planted this church, as we've raised kids together, as we've sat and done counseling with other couples. Our relationship with one another has grown immensely because we're doing side-by-side ministry together. And some of you just don't do that. You don't do ministry outwards together with your spouse, with other friends. And you're called to do that together. The second thing, side by side, the second thing is face to face. Face to face. Now, this is an area that women typically do a lot better, having that face to face time, meeting together, and encouraging one another. So we meet together, we have Sunday gatherings. This is actually important that you come every week, not so that we just can fill a seat, but so that you are part of this. This is meeting together. This is what this verse is warning us about, not neglecting to meet together. Come together on Sunday gatherings, your community group, Porterbrook training, something. We've got so many spaces for you to meet together. We do date night once a month for you couples to get together. We have play dates for wives, stay-at-home moms to get together. We've got community groups, we've got Sunday gatherings, we've got Porterbrook. We have so many spaces for you to connect. It's ridiculous. And we've created those spaces for you to meet together and religiously want to call you over and over again to be a part of them. Do you have a group of girls that you want to, I hope guys aren't thinking it, do you have a group of people that you want to grow in discipleship together? Why don't you all join Porterbrook together, go through the material together, form a little cohort, talk about the material, go deeper with it, but invest in that training. Do you want to grow in relationship with some older people? Well, grab some of your single friends and go and hang out with a family that you can learn from, that you can watch how they discipline their kids, how they train, teach their kids. Some of you just simply neglect meeting together. You neglect that face-to-face time. You don't even understand how valuable that time is, or it should be. And again, in verse 25, the English is not strong, but this is an extremely harsh warning to us. This was said because it's an obvious thing that when you start checking out from Sunday gatherings, from community group, from fellowship with Christians, then you're on your own, which is exactly where Satan wants you to be. Let me read what one commentator said about this passage. He said that people who deliberately and persistently abandon the fellowship of Christian believers are in danger of repeating the sin of Israel and of abandoning the Lord himself. Does that mean that community group or Sunday gathering are the solution? No. No. We know that. We're not saying just go to community group and all of your community woes and everything will be dismantled and you have great friendship. You can still be anonymous. You can be anonymous here. You can be anonymous at a community group, even a small group of people. You can say just the right amount of things so that people think you're going deep, but really you're not going deep with people. And you don't even have to do it in community group. Community group may be another avenue where you meet one person. My wife, she is a one-on-one type of person. She's not going to stand up here and preach at you like I am. I'm not a very good one-on-one person. She is much better at one-on-one, so she'll get with one person, and that's where she really finds good community. Me, I just like to yell at people, and so nobody wants to be my friend. But that leads me to my next point, encouraging one another. This is sort of the content that happens when you meet face-to-face, when you're face-to-face with one another. It doesn't simply mean just writing encouraging, happy notes, I'm your friend forever, those kinds of things. That's not what encouraging one another means in this passage, but encouragement means that we must have this bold love with each other where we're not afraid to sort of cut through all of the crap and call it out. We're willing to take it. We're willing to let somebody dig through all of your stuff and pull it out and say, you see this? Do you see this? You need to have those kind of relationships. I've got people in my life that do that. Did you hear what you just said? That's not good. You know, some people in your life to call all that stuff out. And that's what a true friendship is. If you have friends that just sit around and flatter you, they're not truly your friends. They're not really your friends. But if you have friends who surround you and call you out on things, if you have friends that invest in you and are willing to say, hey, this is awesome, I'm a huge fan of you, you know that, but what you said here, that was harsh, or what you did there, you know, that was not good. Somebody who's going to call you out in that kind of stuff. We have no idea. When we sit with the Bible and we open up the Bible and we put on the lens of community, looking at all of how community interacts according to the scriptures, this is more important than you think. Community with one another is so much more important than you can ever think. We've all been brainwashed by this American individualism. We've been brainwashed to think that we can do it alone, or that community just happens on its own, or something like that. But we cannot neglect side-by-side community together, face-to-face community together. It happens together. So, you've heard all these lies, and you've seen how our passage preaches to those lies. Now, the ball is in your court. I'm going to put the burden upon you. I'm praying hard that you have felt convicted if you are believing these lies, that you have felt rebuked for rejecting community. I pray that you've gotten the snot kicked out of you for not being a part of community group. for just being on the outside waiting for somebody to drag you or something like that. Because the bottom line is this: Jesus has removed the curtain. The curtain has been torn in two so that we have full access to him. You know what that means? We. This is written in the plural, like I talked about last week. We all have full access to him. And you know who wants to keep us? Who wants to keep that curtain in front of us? Satan. He wants to keep that away from us where we have no idea the fight we are in together and how what happens is that fight happens within us. Within each other, we are in a spiritual war together, but we act like we don't even know each other. We're brothers and sisters. We're family. We're family with a common God who has called us sons and daughters of the Most High because the curtain is torn and Jesus has stepped in us as our final sacrifice. Because of the good news that Jesus' death for our sins, even the sin of being anonymous, have been wiped clean, we can come to Jesus. And he has come for all of us. So get to know the others around you that Jesus has come for. Jesus cares for. You can't fight alone. You must not fight alone. Let's pray. Father, I want to come before you and ask that your Holy Spirit would convict us of our lack of ambition to be with one another, our lack of community. God, I pray that you convict many to take advantage of Sunday gatherings, community groups, getting coffee, meeting in the small spaces. In Jesus' name, amen.